The morning show on Trib Life Radio is brought to you by the Team Spanos Group of Raymond James, recently highlighted as the face of financial guidance in Pittsburgh Magazine. Trib Life Radio's version of the Three Stooges, Ken, Guy, and Tim. The Trib Life Radio Triple Play.
Answer the phone.
I'll answer it when I'm ready.
Yeah?
Ooh, I'm ready.
Trib Total Media, see what's next.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic. Whoa!
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
One of our stooges, Tim Benz, on his way to the Tomlin press conference. It'll be today at noon. We'll carry it for you live here on Trib Live Radio. Ken Laird, Guy Junker, and on the line, our Steelers beat reporter for Trib Total Media. That is Mark Cabali, whose Cabali Show runs, of course, on Mondays from 2 to 3. And the Steelers Roundtable that he's a part of, Thursday mornings on Trib Live Radio at 9 a.m. sharp. How are you, Mark?
It almost sounds like Steelers 24-7, all that, Steelers
really
stuff you're talking about, Kenny.
Yep. Hey, question for you, Mark, and the more that we've started to talk about this, the more concern it's become for me. The Steelers and their backup running back situation, should they have, in hindsight, signed a better backup when Le'Veon Bell went down? Why didn't they, and what's their cap situation if they wanted to sign a new one? That's a lot into one question, but it's kind of the same problem they had last year, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know their cap situation right now. I haven't really been keeping up to that because there's so many transactions within the year. I mean, I would imagine they would have been able to find room for somebody, but I'm not even sure who would be available. I mean, how much money did they just waste on Jacoby Jones over the past six or seven weeks? So I'm sure they would have been able to find, but the question is who? I mean, it's the same thing as last year. They have so much confidence in a guy like Fitzgerald Toussaint, because you think about it, this is a guy that was made his way from the practice squad to making himself to the active roster within a span of a couple months. They were so much, enamored or happy with him that they said goodbye to Isaiah Pede. So he must have shown them something enough on the practice squad field over the past 4 weeks to be able to, 4 weeks, 4 months, whatever it is, to believe that that's the case. And, I mean, before you think about bringing somebody in, you got to think of who you're going to bring in. I mean, when they brought in Isaiah P, they thought he might have been the man, but obviously he wasn't. I don't know if there would be anybody better out there. Sometimes you just have to, I believe, roll with it and hope nobody gets injured. But, I mean, do we really think that the outcome of this game is going to be based on whether or not D'Angelo Williams was going to play or not? I think the majority of it would be with Roethlisberger and some of their, you know, wide receivers too. So, I mean, to answer a question, I don't know about the money. I'm sure they can get him in, but I don't know who you'd bring in anyway. Do you have any ideas? I don't know who they brought in.
One name now that's thrown out there is Steven Jackson. Like, the Patriots jumped on him, and, you know, you could have got him.
40, isn't he?
I know, he's old.
He's sunk at the end of his term in Atlanta. So, I mean, has he even got any work in New England? I don't believe so, or if not, it hasn't been much.
Well, they ran him a lot this week, but it was, you know, in mop-up duty. I don't know. I mean,
I think Steven Jackson would have made any difference? He looks like another Ben Tate reincarnated. I mean, I don't know about this Toussaint. I don't know. I mean, you see him going, running the scout team, and I guess he looks okay. I mean, I thought Josh Harris looked pretty good, too, last year, and then training camp before some of his injuries as well. But, I mean, last year, I mean, in that playoff game, I don't think anybody would have ran the ball against Baltimore. They're a pretty stiff team. And if you look at Cincinnati, they're pretty decent against the run anyway. So I don't think that's going to make that much of a difference in the win or loss, to be honest with you.
Well, I think, you know, it certainly helps Ben and his receivers if there's at least the threat of a running game, which I'm not sure there is now. But I where I differ with you there, Ken, is I think last year was different. They were kind of caught with their pants down when Bell got hurt because they didn't have an adequate backup. This year, they signed Williams to be the adequate. They were prepared. They knew they were going to miss Bell for some portion of the season for sure because of the suspension. I mean, you can't just keep signing people so that you're eight people deep at any one position. I mean, they this year they did have the backup, and now he's hurt too.
Yeah, they did.
Give them some credit for not trying to go out now and get somebody just to throw in there as well. This guy, I mean, I think they learned that lesson hard last year, but
right.
We all thought Josh Harris was going to be the guy. who starts trotting out on the field in the first play of the game last year against Baltimore, and Ben Tatum, did he fumble? I believe he might have fumbled or something on the first play. They might have got it back. So at least they're going with the guy that at least knows a little bit what he's doing.
Yeah, that was what the question I had, Mark. Are you better off with a guy? And yesterday, I think it was Hayward Bay had praised him. He says he pays attention in meetings, picked up some blitzes when he did get in the game. I mean, he didn't set the world on fire running the ball. But are you better off having a solid organizational guy that's familiar with what's going on than maybe bringing someone in who has an outside chance of making a splash play but could just as easily hurt you, missing a block, turning the ball over, something like that?
Well, I mean, I've noticed on a couple of occasions that Toussaint picked up some nice blitzes. I don't know what how it went across the board in the entire game, but we are acting like Fitzgerald Toussaint is like a rookie now. I mean, he spent the entire camp last year in entire training camp, the entire season in Baltimore, played actually in a playoff game last year, went through all training camp and off season last year at Baltimore, got cut, instantly picked up with the Steelers. I mean, it's not like this guy is green and he's never been on the field before. He's played all 8 preseason games in 2 years, so he at least has a little bit of experience, and I think that showed through instantly when they brought him in. They brought him in almost instantly. You remember how they brought him in? They did that practice squad overhaul thing. They had their 9 practice squad guys. Then the next day they cut them all and brought all new. He was that second wave of guys. And I think he has probably as much experience as you. I mean, Isaiah Pete was supposed to be a guy that was supposed to have experience too. I mean, they brought him in, Kenny, if you want to think of a guy that had a little bit of experience and a little bit of depth. And that obviously didn't work out very well if they were going to release him. And, you know, and Todman's a guy, too, that showed that he had a little bit of experience. And, you know, Toussaint, I'm talking him up like he's like the next Earl Campbell or something. But he not only hopped over Isaiah P, the guy that's been in the league a couple of years, but he hopped over Todman, too, who had a pretty doggone good preseason in Carolina and looked pretty decent here early on as well. They must see something. I don't know. They could be wrong, but they probably think he will provide just enough to what they're looking for, I guess.
Well, what was the deal with the running game in Cleveland? Why did it not work? Maybe it wasn't Toussaint related, but they got no movement at all.
Yeah.
Are the Browns front good?
No, Browns stink at stopping the run. What were they last in the league? 135 yards a game or something like that? Right. I don't know. I'm not quite sure why it just didn't work. I know they were playing some of that you know, keep that stuff in front of you type of stuff. It might have been just formation-wise where they put 7, 8 in the box, have some guys deep and force you to throw the ball underneath. I'm not 100% sure. It just didn't work. You would think that it would be a little bit better against a terrible team like that, maybe. I mean, they didn't have many opportunities either. How many did D'Angelo really have? Not that many, so I'm not quite sure. They need to play better. They need to run the ball a little better. At least give Toussaint or whoever it is, if it's D'Angelo or not. I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to sell him down the river quite yet. See if he can go or not. But they're going to have to run the ball a little bit better. I don't really truly think the outcome of the game will be attached to how well they run the ball. I think it's going to be attached if the quarterback is healthy, or not healthy enough, patient enough to take what he gives, what the Bengals give him. If he decides he wants to force some things, throw some things into coverage, then there will be an issue. But if he's patient and take what they give him, I think they'll be able to move the ball quite easily, and that will be the difference in the game.
Yeah, clearly if you got to be missing one, you'd rather be missing your running back than your starting quarterback. Do you think, we talked earlier today, would they be better off if they try to force Dalton in there with a bad, I mean, do you think they'll, if it's going badly, they'll put Dalton in no matter what?
That's tough. I mean, it's a month of inactivity.
Yeah.
And imagine, I mean, I all of us probably had some sort of a broken bone, so before you get that cast off, that's pretty tight and pretty difficult to move. Now you're trying to ask, I mean, we need somebody like Stag around here and right now to teach us the dynamic of throwing the football. But I'm guessing the thumb is quite an important digit when you're throwing the ball.
Just taking the snap every play, it'll hurt, I'm sure.
Yeah, so I wouldn't imagine. I don't think he would be one of those you know, number two active guys like Roethlisberger was in that November, whenever they played, whenever Ben was the backup that came in that game. I think it's just going to be McCarrion. You have to love. I saw some crazy stat. I don't know exactly what it is. No quarterback has only started three games in his career and went to playoffs has ever won. There's only one guy that ever did that in like 80 years. So history's not on the side if A.J. McCarrion does get the start.
Well, Mark, very few interviews we have with you go past without a Pro Football Focus reference.
Which one are we talking about, Gay or Blake? Because I do Blake. Believe Gay gave up a touchdown. I just have to find it.
Okay. Well, that's good.
I do believe one. I mean, okay. Wasn't that one in Seattle he gave up or something to Baldwin? I thought he gave up one to Baldwin. I don't know.
Okay, well, I'll look it up in my notes as we speak here. But the one I really wanted to ask you about, we have gotten emails on Antoine. Every other email is about Antoine Blake.
Hey, Antoine Blake. The 1,000 yards given up. I don't know what you want to do. I mean, the guy's having his troubles, okay. The guy had some issues with his hands. Where are you going to go? Who are you going to put in? Boykin's already playing 70-75% of the snaps. It's basically Cochran, Blake splitting snaps at the other thing. I mean, I don't know what you want to do unless you want to totally throw Ross Cockrell in there, who's had his wars as well. It's not like you're going to throw Duran Grant or Isaiah Fry off the practice squad. I mean, you're really limited in what you can do. And here's the issue that Steelers fans are going to probably hate. I'm quite sure that they're going to re-sign him to come back next year, Antoine Blake, and they're going to really love that, huh?
Well, it reminds me of William Gay before he left. Like, maybe in a couple of years he'll be better. Remember how Gay was?
That's a perfect example right there. People tend to forget how much William Gay was whipping boy number one.
Oh,
about
crushed.
The years 2007, 8, and 9. Remember the Adrian Peterson run him over and step on his chest as he gained 20 yards? I mean, remember the three touchdowns he allowed to Gronk in Gronk's rookie year? William Gay was basically Antoine Blake, and it takes time. And everybody you talk about, from, you know, Tom Shaw to players to coaches, hey, this guy's a freak athlete. He's only played in, you know, a year and a half worth of games in his career. He might need some time. I mean, William Gay showed he needs some time as well. William Gay turns from the bum to the best corner on the squad in a year and a half, but you don't hear much about William Gay complaining anymore, though. People tend to forget about that.
No, although, to your point, Mark, I looked up my notes from the Seattle game. I have Gay written down for two Doug Baldwin touchdowns as a possible culprit. I don't know who was – there was some busted coverage in that game.
Yes, I do recall that. You know what that is, though? Because Pro Football Focus, my buddies, and I have nothing against Pro Football Focus except the grades. But honestly, they even admit if they don't know the outcome, they just leave it out. I don't know how you can do that. If I don't know the answer to a test I'm taking in school and just say, oh, leave a blank, you know what? It's still wrong.
Well,
so somebody screwed up. Something's wrong. You just can't throw it out. So there's not that many mulligans. I thought there was a couple occasions in Seattle that he got burnt, but what do I know? I just watched the game.
Mark Cabal is live at the South Side here on Trib Live Radio.
I got a theory, Ken. I think Mark did some work for them one time and didn't get paid.
Ah, that's a good theory.
there's a lot of that going around.
We all got a lot of that going around.
It just bothers me, the grades, but it shows you right there. Now you're basing everybody's grades off of that. I mean, Antoine Blake, sure, he's terrible. He's had play terrible. But the grade-wise, he's the second worst or whatever the heck he is. I mean, a play that they throw out that they thought somebody else was there might make a difference of him being number 120 or number 100, you know. But, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's just, I mean, look at Bill Belichick. Did you read that article about Belichick a couple weeks ago? He says, yeah, we looked into it, so thinking maybe this is a viable option we can use. Then we looked at it and said, boy, they're way off base, so we just totally ignored Pro Football Focus. There's an article just... Google Belichick and Pro Football Focus.
Do you predict, Mark, that Keith Butler, based on what was a pretty successful game plan last week against Austin Davis, will dial up more of the same this week against A.J. McCarrion if he's in there? In other words, blitzes from long range and you know, Blake coming and Will Allen coming. To his credit, he changed the game plan quite a bit from the Baltimore game, didn't he?
Yeah. It makes you wonder why that Baltimore game plan was what it was. Because for the majority of the year, it's been that. Different type of blitzes, different type of angles. I mean, you're going to have to bring pressure. I mean, you're going to have to bring pressure to help out the secondary. I mean, maybe not as much. I don't know. I don't recall how they even played McCarron when he came. And maybe they think that he can sit back there. But you have to create pressure. I asked Butler a couple weeks ago. I mean, you bring four. Is that out of necessity or want to? You say you basically need to do that because you got to help out the secondary a little bit if you're going to drop seven guys in the coverage. I just hope when they stick to the aggressiveness, when they aggressively bring some guys, that forces them to play a little bit more man. And I don't know about you, every time I see him play zone, I see him giving up a lot of yards and a lot of receptions. So maybe not as intense as Austin Davis, but I sure hope it's not that defense he rolled out against Ryan Mallett, because that was just asking. I mean, sometimes that happens. Remember the Tebow game a couple years ago? They felt that there was no way Tebow could beat him with his arm, so they were sticking with their stuff, and he completes, what, a dozen passes for 340 yards, and they refused to change. So I would imagine some pressure, but hopefully it's not that four man all day, or A.J. McCarron can beat you, why not?
Mark, you've been around pro football players a long time. Do you believe stuff like this gets in their head? Cincinnati, since A.J. Green and Andy Dalton were drafted, are 0-4 in the playoffs, 4-10 in primetime, 1-4 at home against the Steelers. The fans immediately seem to take to social media in Cincinnati, and they're prepared for it to happen again. Do the players look at it that way?
I don't think they can. Well, it's tough. They tell us they don't, but you would imagine that. I mean, Marcus Gilbert said it via social media, right? You know, they're chokers in the playoffs, so some of them must think that way. They can't act like that way. I don't think it. Yeah, that's tough. I mean, it's year to year, and I'm sure if you break down all those teams, there's just a few people that probably are across the board playing on those teams. I don't really think that matters. If you go in there and say, you know, we won 20 of the last 29 and against the Bengals, and, you know, they haven't lost, we're just going to win this game. Everything points toward the Steelers should be winning this game, but I don't think they think it that way. They probably remember last year where you probably thought the Ravens coming in here, they pretty much owned the Ravens in the playoffs up until last year. Didn't they beat them like three or four times in the playoffs? I think 2008 and 2009 or something, they beat them and see what happened there. So I don't think they think that way, but maybe way deep in the back of their mind they do. I mean, it's not going to be an easy game, whether if A.J. McCarron's playing, they're in Cincinnati, Marvin Lewis is 0-6. I don't see a 42-10 game. It's just not going to happen. These teams are in the playoffs for a reason.
I just, Ken, we spent a lot of time in the first hour talking about momentum and what it means in the playoffs. The Steelers are a team that I think relief is a good word, that they didn't squander their playoff chances with the Baltimore disaster and that they got in, whereas this Cincinnati team, 2 weeks ago, they're up 14-3 on Denver. If they hold on to that, they get a first-round bye. They might get Dalton back and healthy for the first game, and so I do think that from the outset, and, you know, 5 minutes into the game, maybe that doesn't matter, but leading up to it, the Steelers got to feel a lot better about things right now than Cincinnati.
No, I would think so, just for the fact of who's quarterback in each team as well. You know, I don't want A.J. McCarron being the guy that's trying to get past your arch nemesis, but we've seen crazier things happen in the playoffs and in regular season as well. I'm sure they feel good and confident about themselves, but they go out there first series and Ben tries to sneak one into a triple covered Heath Miller and gets deflected in interception. All of a sudden, things change a lot.
Well, last thing from me before you, Mark, what about that? 7 picks in the last 4 games for Ben. We all know the kind of numbers they can put up offensively, how great Antonio Brown can be. It's the great equalizer. None of the other quarterbacks in the league that have the kind of reputation, Super Bowls on their resume, or the kind of stats that Ben has this year, has the bad touchdown-to-interception ratio that he does. How much of a concern should that be heading into the playoffs?
Well, it has to be some sort of a concern. He only threw, what, 9 interceptions last year, and it's all about the decision-making with him right now. It just doesn't seem like he's crisp in what he's doing. I'm sure some of his picks have been the fault of some wide receivers as well. I don't know really why he's making some of the throws that he has. He's been a little bit – I mean, the guy, as of maybe that Denver game, since then his accuracy is just has been very good, and it might be kind of ironic because I was about ready to do a story about how accurate the guy's been throwing the ball, and all of a sudden he just falls up. Maybe, I don't know, is he banged up? I mean, he took a big hit. Where did he get hit at? In Baltimore? And he was sick last week. Maybe there's an excuse. I don't know. I just think it has a lot to do with decision-making, but then you ask yourself, why?
Yeah.
Why all of a sudden the guy's been, you know, unbelievable every time he's been on the field, and all of a sudden something's happened. I don't know. Maybe he has an injury. I don't know. But it comes down to him. I mean, he's going to have to perform well, or at least not. I mean, in this case, he's going to have to perform well because he's not going to likely have a dynamic running game. And I would sure to believe if the Steelers lose against the Bengals, it will be because number 7 didn't play very well.
Well, just quick follow-up on that, Mark. The first pick he threw, the one where Martavis was the intended target, sort of, was that his fault or a bad route? Or, you know, and does he have faith in Martavis anymore?
I always like to say that the receiver's fault. I've been told before, you know, if there's a miscommunication in the route, 99 out of 100 times it's probably the running back, I mean the wide receiver. So I would default on that. I think there's a couple of times Martavis might not have been in the right position. Maybe there's one, I know, incompletion of what Martavis just let work. That's another one. I think that's a huge key. Martavis had some great games against the Bengals. He's going to have to show up, man. One catch for, what, 8 yards in 2 games, and very seemingly disinterested or something. I know Hayward Bay made a nice catch, whatever, but he's going to have to come up and step up a little bit. And if he steps up, makes some big plays, all of a sudden makes the quarterback's job a little easier as well.
Great stuff, Marky. Appreciate the visit.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, man. That's it.
See you later, Mark Cavalli. Headed up to the Tomlin presser on the south side, and we'll carry it for you here in a couple minutes. To his point, Guy, about how Ben needs to be good, but also, you know, this running back thing. Last year in the Ravens playoff game, they're down by 8, 23-15. It's a 3rd-and-4, and Ben spins out of pressure, and he throws it to Tate, and it goes off his hands and right to Terrell Suggs, and basically the game's over. One play later, they go in, and it's 30-15, and Baltimore wins. So, like, that's not Ben's fault. That's Ben Tate's fault. But Ben Tate was signed a week prior. You know, I have a fear that Fitzgerald Toussaint is the guy this year. You know, that Ben's looking for a check down. He's looking for D'Angelo Williams. He's not there. Here's Toussaint. It goes off his hands and into the hands of Burfict or something. You know, it does seem eerily similar in that way to the same position they were in last year. Although, to your point, they had had 2 running backs this year. They were unlucky in that both of them got hurt. So they kind of were more prepared, but then again, here we are again in the same spot. I mean, Toussaint's been there all year, I guess, as opposed to Tate, but I don't know. Like Mark can say it's all on Ben, but last year it wasn't all on Ben. It was partly the running back situation.
Yeah, I don't think
that affect him.
I don't think you can ignore that. And you can say that's the one thing I disagreed with Mark when I brought up that, you know, the threat of a running game helps that passing game.
Sure.
And you take that away, and it look, last year you were playing a home game, and you couldn't survive without having your what was your best running back at the time. Now, D'Angelo Williams is not Le'Veon Bell, but, boy, without him this year, and the Steelers probably aren't in the playoffs.
Right.
So you've lost something a little less valuable, and I think their passing game this year is just as good as it was last year, but you don't want to be limited to that. And what if the weather is crap? Maybe we should start looking at the 7-day for Cincinnati. I mean, it's supposed to warm up around here over the weekend, but the wind was pretty bad in Cleveland the other day. I mean, that could play a factor. There are times when you want to run the ball. Like we said, it could affect your 2-point conversion decisions. It could affect your 3rd-and-short situations. You're sitting there with a 3rd-and-3, a 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1. Maybe you throw instead of running because you're not confident that you can pick up the yardage there. So I think it's a bigger deal than we're making it out to be. But like I said, I don't blame them for not having a third guy on the roster. They got D'Angelo Williams to be a strong secondary guy for when they knew Bell would be out to suspension and in case he got hurt, and they needed him for both situations. I mean, you lose to, Jesus, 76 Steelers, who I think is the best Steeler team ever, lost Franco and Rocky both and ended up getting eliminated in the playoff game. So this happens.
Right. It's a bad trend in the franchise. I guess, but once Bell got hurt, then you're back to, we only have one running back. We need to change our mindset a little bit. Maybe they should.
Last year they didn't have that chance because he got hurt in the last game of the year, and you didn't have much time to react to it. Now it's the last game of the year again, but they did have a chance to pick up somebody they thought might be better as a backup.